Good morning, Shabbat Shalom. I'm Charles Vance, and this is Living Words Podcast. This is week two of the devotional study in the devotional book In His Footsteps, which you can find in a link to the Amazon page and show notes if you want to purchase a copy. It's not necessary, but you're certainly welcome to. The passages we're going to be working with today, it's a bit of an overlap because last week we went through John 1:1-18 extensively, but we're going to go into a little bit deeper dive. Only the perspective this time is based on belief and identity. So we're all, and in addition to John 1:1-18, we're also adding John 3:1-21 and John 8:31-36. I'll be reading the selected passage this morning from the King James Version. And as I said last week, it's because it's a well-accepted version of the Bible. And there's some other reasons too, primarily because it has so much acceptance. There's a lot of concordances, a wealth of places that you can actually do in individual studies that are all related to the King James Version. The other thing about the King James that I like is that they italicize places where they have added things to the Bible. All right, having said that, let's start with John 1:1-18. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, but of the will nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Then we're going to read John 3:1-21. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Truly I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Truly I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind blows where it blows, and you hear the sound, but you can't tell where it came from. And whither it goes, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said, Art thou the master of Israel, and know not these things? Truly I say to you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you the earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And he that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they were wrought in God. And then 8:31-36. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How say you, you shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, Truly I say to you, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we just come before you now, and we praise your name. We thank you for your mercy and for your goodness. We thank that you have given us the seventh day to set it apart and make it dedicated to you. And Father, we just pray that you would open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears to receive your word, to be washed in the renewal of your word, to be transformed by the Spirit, to be guided and directed, to be comforted. We lift up your name. We pray for your blessing upon this reading and upon this lesson and upon these prayers. In Yeshua's name, amen. Now, I hope you don't get offended if I say Yeshua. I can say Yeshua. I can say Jesus Christ. I say Yeshua because that's his Hebrew name. Jesus is a derivative of the King James. I think it was Iusus. And, you know, I just prefer to go with the Hebrew. But that's just me. You're certainly welcome to call him Jesus. Don't be surprised, though, whenever he looks at you and says, huh? Because he may not recognize you calling him that. John 1:1-18. This is the prologue. This is a prologue to John's gospel. It introduces Jesus as the preexistent Word who was with God and is God. It emphasizes the incarnation, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. The passage also sets the stage for understanding his divine nature and his unique role in revealing God. It speaks of Jesus as the true light and the source of grace and truth, and it contrasts him with the law that came through Moses. The emphasis is on receiving Jesus and believing in his name and that as the means to become the children of God, underscoring the transformative power of the embracing the Word. And then on the new birth, John 3:1-21, in that passage, Jesus' nighttime conversation with Nicodemus highlights the necessity of being born again, or born from above, to see the kingdom of God. The new birth is not a physical rebirth, but a spiritual one, achieved through water and the Spirit. The conversation culminates in one of the most famous verses of the New Testament, John 3:16, summarizing God's love for the world and the promise of eternal life to those who believe in his Son. The theme of light and darkness reemerges, emphasizing human nature's tendency to prefer darkness due to deeds of evil, but calling for life lived in the truth brought into light. And then John 8:31-36, the truth will set you free. In this discourse, Jesus addresses the Jews who had believed him. He focuses on the concept of freedom through adherence to his teaching. He distinguishes between the slavery of sin and the freedom offered by the Son. Jesus asserts that true discipleship involves abiding in his word, which leads to knowing the truth and consequently, being set free by the truth. The passage challenges notions of freedom and bondage, pointing to spiritual liberation through Christ as the ultimate form of freedom. Now, there are some lessons, there are a lot of lessons, but we are focusing on three basic lessons that can be gleaned from this. And first is the Word became flesh. This is the eternal nature of Christ, the incarnation as God's initiative. And receiving Jesus transforms identity. So Jesus is not just a figure of history, but he's the eternal Word, and that emphasizes the timeless relevance of his teachings and presence. The incarnation of Jesus demonstrates God's initiative to reach out to humanity, showing that God desires a personal relationship with us. And becoming a child of God is contingent on receiving and believing in Jesus, teaching that spiritual rebirth and identity are grounded in faith. Now from John 3:1-21, the new birth, necessity of spiritual rebirth, salvation through belief in Christ, light and darkness as moral choices. Spiritual rebirth is essential for entering the kingdom of God, highlighting the transformative power of faith in the Spirit. Eternal life is a gift to those who believe in Jesus, underscoring the belief as the foundational response to God's offer for salvation. The motif of light versus darkness illustrates the moral choices we face, urges us to choose the light of Christ and reject the darkness of sin. Now from John 8:31 through 36, the truth will set you free. We have freedom through adherence to Jesus' teachings, and the reality of spiritual bondage and discipleship as a path to truth. True freedom is spiritual and comes from living according to Jesus' teachings, challenging superficial understandings of freedom. Acknowledging the reality of spiritual bondage due to sin is the first step toward seeking freedom in Christ. Continuous learning from Jesus and abiding in His Word are essential for discipleship, leading to an understanding of truth that liberates. Now let's do some reflection and discussion questions. How does understanding Jesus as both the preexistent Word and the one who became flesh deepen your appreciation of His teachings and sacrifice? For me, the fact that He is the preexistent Word who became flesh, that He's God, that proves His incarnation. So reflect on the concept of being born again. How does this spiritual truth impact your identity, actions, and outlook on life? This has been a sticking point for a lot of people. You know, born again, what does that mean? And it truly means that you're a new creature in Christ when you receive Him, when you covenant with God Almighty, the Creator of the universe. The Holy Spirit makes you a new creature. You're born again. Now in John 8:31 through 36, Jesus speaks of the freedom that comes from abiding in His Word. Discuss an instance where living by Jesus' teachings led to a sense of liberation in your life. I would say for me, it's just the freedom of knowing the truth. You know, I remember when I was in the military, I went through a period, kind of a dark period in my life spiritually because I had rejected Christ. I grew up in a Baptist church and I saw the hypocrisy. And I think by the time I was 17, I pretty much rejected the church. I rejected God. I was, you know, practically an atheist. And I went through a lot of dark times. And I remember one time going into the day room when I was in the military and saying, you know, just being under conviction and knowing that I was wrong because I had an early conversion to Jesus Christ and had been, I'm his child. And I had rejected Him as His child. And there was deep conviction and guilt. And I was miserable. And I went into the day room and there was a Bible and I opened it up and I looked to read that Bible and it was a dead book to me. It was like the Spirit had withdrawn Himself. And so when I eventually did fall on my face before Him and repent and ask for His forgiveness, He filled me with love and peace, and I had that forgiveness and that liberation that comes from knowing that you're His child and He hasn't forsaken you. So considering the contrast between light and darkness in these passages, how do you see the role of faith in Jesus helping to navigate the darkness of our current times? I think it's human agency. You know, I mean, we are in dark times. And if you don't let the light of Christ shine through you and how you respond to others, then the darkness is just going to be all the greater. Now, the theme of receiving and believing in Jesus to become a child of God is central in John 1:12 through 13. How does this identity as children of God influence your approach to community service and witness in the world? Well, it should give you power to know that you are a child of the King and that you don't have to fear anybody or anything. And so that should definitely guide your attitudes. And as long as you're in the Word, I think, and you don't focus on the evil things of the world, then you will be above it. So here's some suggested prayers. Again, some people have anxiety around prayers, and it's good, I think, to have some prayer models, and that's what this is about. So here's a prayer for understanding and embracing the incarnation. Heavenly Father, we come before You in awe of Your Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, who dwells among us full of grace and truth. Grant us the understanding to grasp the depth of Your love, demonstrated through the incarnation. Help us to see Jesus not just as a figure from the past, but as the eternal Word, illuminating our lives today. May this profound truth transform how we live, love, and serve, reflecting Your light in every place of darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And here's a prayer for new birth and spiritual transformation. Lord God, You have called upon us to be born again, not of flesh, but of spirit, through water and the Spirit. Open our hearts to the reality of this new birth, that we may truly enter Your kingdom and live as Your children. May Your Spirit guide us unto all truth. transforming our lives from the inside out. Help us to lay down our old ways and to embrace the life you have called us to, a life marked by faith, hope, and love. Strengthen our faith that we may believe in Jesus with all that we are and receive the eternal life you promise. Amen. And here's another prayer for living in freedom and truth. O God, our Redeemer, in a world where truth often seems relative and freedom is misunderstood, guide us to the truth that sets us free, the truth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Teach us to abide in your words, to live as your disciples, and to experience the true freedom that comes from following you. May we be lights in the darkness, vessels of your truth, and bearers of the freedom that we have found in Christ. Empower us to break the chains of sin in our lives, that we might live fully for you in the freedom of your Spirit. Amen. Now, next week, we're going to be again in John 1 through 18, and the Word became flesh, but we're going to drill specifically on that idea, and we're going to talk about salvation and have some more reflection around that and some more prayers. And then the fourth week, we'll begin moving along, and we'll move out of the John 1 through 18 passage into John 1:19-51 as we again talk about John the Baptist and the first disciples. But to me, you have to really focus on the Word made flesh. It is a central theme of John, and it truly is the whole reason that we can call him God. So I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope it's been helpful for you, and I'll see you next Sabbath.